Welcome to our podcast. We're going behind the infamous blue signs of North Mississippi Health Services to connect you with important resources, hot topics, and information offered by our very own experts. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out Castos for more episodes.
Hi, my name's Lisa Foley, and I'm a nurse practitioner at North Mississippi Medical Center in cardiovascular services. To kick off Heart Month, we wanted to start off by talking about women and heart disease. The term heart disease refers to several types of heart conditions, including coronary artery disease and myocardial infarction, or heart attack. Although heart disease sometimes is thought of as a man's disease, almost as many women as men die each year of heart disease in the United States. It is the number one cause of death. Despite increases in awareness over the past decades, only about half of women recognize that heart disease is their number one killer. Heart disease is the leading cause of death for women in the United States, killing over 300,000 women in 2020, or about one in every five female deaths. Cardiovascular disease accounts for about one-third of all female deaths and half of the deaths in Mississippi. We all love Mississippi, and we think Mississippi ranks number one in hospitality and generosity, but unfortunately also Mississippi ranks number one in death rates due to heart disease mortality. Women with heart attacks are more likely to have complications and increased mortality. They are 20% more likely to develop heart failure or die within 5 years of an MI or heart attack. Women are more likely to wait before presenting for medical attention, which delays the care that they need. So, what are the symptoms of heart disease? Some women can actually present with no symptoms. In fact, a recent study of 450 women showed that only 43% of those women actually presented with heart pain or angina. Angina is a dull or heavy ache or a sharp pain that people will present and they have it in their chest. It can be in their abdomen. It can be in their back or upper shoulders. Also, it can present in the neck, the jaw, the throat, or even the teeth. These symptoms can happen when you're resting or when you're going about your daily activities. Other symptoms that women can have that might indicate a heart attack is nausea, vomiting, fatigue, shortness of breath, diaphoresis or sweating, and dizziness. Sometimes heart disease can be silent and not diagnosed until you actually present with an emergency, like a heart attack. It could also be presented as an arrhythmia. An arrhythmia may be presented as a fluttering sensation in your chest. And lastly, you could present with congestive heart failure. Signs of heart failure is shortness of breath, fatigue, or swelling of the feet, ankles, legs, abdomen, or neck. If you have any of these symptoms, call 911 right away. So what are some of the risk factors of heart disease? High blood pressure, high bad cholesterol or LDL cholesterol, and smoking are key risk factors for heart disease. About half of all people in the United States have at least one of these three risk factors. Smoking, even minimal use, increases your risk of heart disease sixfold. Several other medical conditions and lifestyle choices can also put people at a higher risk for heart disease, including diabetes, family history, having obesity or being overweight, eating an unhealthy diet, being physically inactive, or drinking too much alcohol. If you have these risk factors, how can you reduce your risk of heart disease? To lower your chances, one of the most important things to know is to know what your blood pressure is. Having uncontrolled blood pressure can lead to heart disease. High blood pressure can have no symptoms, so it's important to have your blood pressure checked regularly. And remember that a normal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. You need to talk to your doctor or healthcare team about whether you should be tested for diabetes. Having uncontrolled diabetes can raise your risk of a heart attack. If you have diabetes, your 3-month blood sugar average, or A1C, should be maintained at less than 6.5%. One of the most important is if you smoke, quit smoking. If you don't smoke, don't start. Discuss checking also your blood cholesterol and your triglycerides. The guidelines for cholesterol levels if you have known coronary artery disease is now to dose with a moderate to a high intensity statin. And there are only two recommended medications by the American College of Cardiology. Those medications are rosuvastatin and atorvastatin. So it's no longer about treating a certain number, but it's about the dose of medication that you take if you have known heart disease. We give these medications to help reduce or stabilize plaque formations that may be in your artery. If you do not have coronary artery disease, you should check with your doctor about the ASCVD risk calculator. This is a tool that he can use where he would enter information such as your sex, your diabetes risk, your LDL cholesterol, do you smoke? All of these things are entered into the risk calculator, and it will let them know if you are more at risk. If your risk calculator score is greater than 7.5%, a statin may be indicated for you. Exercise is one of the most important things that you can do to lower your risk. It's no longer, though, 30 minutes a day, 3 days a week, but now it's 50 to 60 minutes on most days a week. You need to keep your weight normal. Your BMI should be less than 25, and your waist circumference should be maintained at less than 35 inches. You should make healthy food choices, and you should limit how much alcohol you drink to one drink per day. Manage stress levels by finding healthy ways to cope with stress. Finally, know that screening programs are available. A calcium score is a great screening tool that's available to everyone. A cardiac CT calcium score is a quick, convenient, and non-invasive way of evaluating the amount of calcified plaque in your heart vessels. The level of calcium equates to the extent of the plaque buildup in your arteries, and it's the plaque in your arteries that can cause heart attacks. So for the month of February, Cardiology Associates is teaming up with North Mississippi Medical Center by offering a CT calcium score for a special rate. Beginning February 1st, you can call 662-620-6800 to get your calcium score scheduled. Remember that heart disease can be prevented. Early detection and treatment is key to limiting your risk. Do not delay and don't think it won't happen to you. Following a heart-healthy lifestyle doesn't have to be complicated, and it doesn't mean you need to live a life of self-deprivation. Instead, find ways to incorporate heart-healthy habits into your lifestyle, and you may enjoy a healthier life for years to come.
Hello, I'm Dorothy Wilson. I am a nurse practitioner with North Mississippi Medical Center in Tupelo, Mississippi. I work with the electrophysiology department and care for patients in our clinic and hospital system. Today, let's talk about atrial fibrillation. We'll define what atrial fibrillation is, what causes it, the consequences, and how we treat it. To start with, what is atrial fibrillation, also commonly called AFib, is an irregular heart rhythm that originates in the atria or the top chambers of the heart. The upper chambers beat out of rhythm with the bottom chambers, with the top chambers quivering. Atrial fibrillation is the most common heart arrhythmia. The prevalence of atrial fibrillation in the United States ranges from about 2.7 million to 6.1 million, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Additionally, the CDC estimates 12.1 million people in the United States will have atrial fibrillation by 2030. Atrial fibrillation is more common in individuals of European descent versus African Americans. More women than men will have atrial fibrillation. This is due to the longer lifespan of women. Additionally, the risk for atrial fibrillation increases with age. Patients report various symptoms with atrial fibrillation. Palpitations are sometimes described by individuals as an irregular heartbeat, fluttering of their heart, or skip beats. Some report shortness of breath both at rest and with activities. Other symptoms some individuals will report are dizziness, fatigue and weakness, or discomfort in the chest. Some individuals will have no symptoms with atrial fibrillation, and it is found incidentally on a routine exam. Atrial fibrillation may be caused by various health or environmental issues. Some health issues include high blood pressure, heart failure, cardiomyopathy, coronary artery disease, heart valve disease, previous heart surgery, congenital heart disease or birth defects involving the heart, chronic lung disease such as COPD, asthma, and emphysema, or a blood clot in the lungs, also known as a pulmonary embolism, and thyroid problems. Environmental issues that can cause atrial fibrillation include excessive caffeine consumption, excessive alcohol intake to include binge drinking, and stress. However, in some individuals, there is no known cause of their atrial fibrillation. There are various treatments available for atrial fibrillation to help with the symptoms. These include medications to help maintain a normal heart rhythm to include a class of drugs known as antiarrhythmics. Sometimes a cardioversion or shock to the heart is needed to restore the individual to a normal heart rhythm. When medications are no longer effective, then an outpatient ablation may be done to target the source of the chaotic electrical impulses in the heart, typically performed by an electrophysiologist. For some individuals undergoing open heart surgery, a Mays procedure may be considered where the surgeon creates scar tissue in the upper chambers of the heart. Sometimes permanently implanted devices such as pacemakers or loop recorders are used to help manage atrial fibrillation. It is important to understand the consequences of atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation increases stroke risk. An individual with atrial fibrillation is 5 times more likely to have a stroke than someone without atrial fibrillation. As the heart is not squeezing properly, it allows blood to pool in the upper chambers of the heart, creating the opportunity for blood to clot. These blood clots can then move out of the heart and travel to the brain, blocking blood supply, causing a stroke. Additionally, atrial fibrillation can lead to heart failure when heart rates are uncontrolled. This is due to the heart not efficiently pumping blood to the lungs and body. With the increased stroke risk with atrial fibrillation, prevention of stroke is very important. Traditional oral anticoagulation, also known as blood thinners, are used. They increase the time it takes for blood to clot. More recently, other options for stroke prevention have evolved. In patients where long-term anticoagulation is problematic due to falls, unsteady gait with significant risk for falls, unable to maintain therapeutic INR, or recurrent GI bleeding, there is an alternative to traditional oral anticoagulation. In people with atrial fibrillation, more than 90% of stroke-causing clots come from the left atrial appendage. Devices to occlude this area have been developed. The device is placed in the left atrial appendage, a small area on the upper left chamber of the heart. The Food and Drug Administration has so far approved 2 devices, the Watchman and Amulet devices. Watchman is made by Boston Scientific, and Amulet is made by Abbott Medical. Watchman was the first FDA-approved device, gaining approval in 2015, and Amulet was approved in 2021. There are other devices currently in research trials. For further information about atrial fibrillation may be found online at American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology, and Centers for Disease Control websites. Further information about left atrial appendage closure devices may be found online at their respective manufacturers' websites. So if you or a family member would like to discuss your options for atrial fibrillation further, you can either have your primary care provider refer you to electrophysiology or call and make an appointment as no referral is required. Patients are seen at the Tupelo, Corinth, and Oxford clinics with our procedures performed at North Mississippi Medical Center in Tupelo. Please call 662-620-6800 to schedule your appointment. Thank you for your time today, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for listening. We're here to support you and are so glad you chose to spend time with us today. We hope this podcast helped you understand what Connected feels like. Please don't forget to check back at Castos for more episodes.